Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Standing Room Only podcast. Yes, I'm your host, Ben Standing, and I cover the Washington Commanders for The Athletic. It is Monday, well, actually it's Tuesday morning, just a little bit past midnight here in the DMV, capping off a very busy day for the Washington Commanders. We knew they'd be busy during free agency. They have a lot of cap space and a lot of holes to fill. The question was kind of, you know, how busy would they be off the bat? Well, day one of the legal tampering period, and the Commanders signed six different players. We'll go through all in the moment. No big headliners per se, but one player that all fantasy footballers know is Chargers running back Austin Eckler, or I should say former Chargers running back Austin Eckler. He is here. He's going to be that change of pace back to go with Brian Robinson. And in honor of that, I reached out to our Chargers beat writer, Daniel Popper, to see if he had a few minutes to explain to us, you know, why is Austin Eckler here, and you know, why isn't he still with the Chargers, and what do you think he has left? And I think you'll be happy with most of what Daniel has to say about Austin Eckler. So we'll get to all of that and talk a little bit about where the Commanders are right now in a moment here on the Standing Room Only podcast. Of course, please subscribe if you don't already on iTunes or wherever you do your podcasting. If you have a moment to write a rating and a review, that would be great. We've put up a lot of really fun content over the last couple weeks. It's hitting hard on the draft. Now, of course, it is free agency time. Also, if you are yet if you're not yet a subscriber to The Athletic, it is right now a deal, $1 a month for 12 months. Just click on one of my articles, whether it's one of the many that were up today about some of these new players or anything from the last week or so regarding the draft. Go ahead and click on one of those and you'll get the deal there. All right, let's get to a few things here. I think what stands out to me is a couple of notes. One, so when the day started, I was on Twitter this morning, as one is, and I was saying, I know people are excited to find out what players are going to be wearing burgundy gold next year. And I totally get it. But I said, I'm more intrigued to see what's the plan of attack here from Adam Peters and company. We don't know really, right? Because for, you know, they can tell us whatever they want to tell us and we can think what we want to think. But until they do it, you know, who knows? You know, you walk up to the line of scrimmage, you read the defense and you think, oh, we got to audible to somebody else. From what I see, I don't believe they did audible out. I believe they very much had a plan and seemed to have stuck to it. And that plan is how I would interpret their plan. There, as I said, there's no stars here. They got a couple of legit starters. You've got, first off, I'll mention center Tyler Biadasz, former Cowboys, 3 years, $30 million deal. Unlike the centers that have come through Washington in the last few years, Biadasz is durable. He's in his 20s. He was a Pro Bowler in 2022. You know, that I think is a pretty rock solid move. And what that move does, they've got still holes on both sides, both the left tackle and the left guard spot. But you get the center done. So not only is it one, you picked one of those spots, you spent some money there, that's done. Two, you had to bring in a veteran center to work with your young quarterback. The only center on the team right now before this move was Ricky Stromberg. Maybe he's going to be a great center for years to come, but all we know right now is he barely played in 2023 before he got a knee injury, and he didn't play at center at all. And so he's basically a rookie to pair him with, you know, whoever the rookie quarterback would presumably be. Bad idea. They go out and get a vet. So this move kills sort of the two birds with one stone. You help the quarterback and you stabilize the line. Now, look, they still need to get a tackle. They don't have to get a guard per se because of what they also did. The last move of the day, They signed or agreed to terms with former Chiefs guard Nick Allegretti, who you may recall ended up starting in the Super Bowl for Kansas City. He's normally a reserve and played the majority of the game with a torn UCL muscle. That's like, what, your elbow, your shoulder? I should know these things. Yeah, right? So, you know, he got a lot of notoriety for that. That doesn't mean he's the next Russ Grimm, but he's a guy who, sort of like when Wes Schweitzer showed up a few years ago, he could start. You didn't have to start him. The contract wasn't such a big deal, but you can probably rely on him when you need to, which is what obviously the Chiefs did, and it worked out well for them. So now they've got Allegretti. They still have Chris Paul on the roster. If they want to draft a guard high, they can, but they have somebody they can use, et cetera, et cetera. So I like that move. Now, it's not the exact same, but somewhat similarly to in the way I see it. They did the same thing on the defensive line. The first move of the day was signing former Cowboys defensive end Dorrance Armstrong. 3 years for a deal that's max $45 million, but the base is $33 million. Our pal Nicky Giavallo from the Post had that. So why do I say that like Armstrong is a little bit like Allegretti? Well, for one, he basically was not much of a starter. He was a sort of split starter, bench reserve player for Dallas, but he produced. He was second in the team in sacks the last 2 years behind Micah Parsons. He's a Dan Quinn guy, so he's going to be able to come in, give the room some insight into what the new coach is looking for. He'll start, presumably. I don't know what, definitively that'll be on the left side or the right side, but he covers up one spot. Now, you still have to figure out the other spot. I'm not arguing that. But now you have a little more options. Okay, we've got that settled, right? At some point, you figure they're going to add, if not James Smith Williams and Casey Tuhill, the equivalents of that, some versions of that. I think Dante Fowler from the Cowboys is a guy that could easily be one of those players. So when you, so now, again, it gives them some flexibility. They have a guy who's pretty legit, who can start, but, again, he's been a reserve or has come off the bench plenty in his career. I think he's probably going to start. I'm just saying they're not precluding themselves from anything at this point. If somebody comes up in the draft that blows them out and they want to take him and eventually he starts, I don't think that they're not going to get blocked here, but they don't have to force anything either. They also, now this one is more like the one that's like, oh, okay, this is a really interesting one. Former Carolina linebacker Frankie Louvu, 3 years deal, $31 million, max $36 million. Today was a really hectic day. There was a lot of texts, a lot of throwing things against the wall. but when the Louvu thing happens, I had to immediately try to confirm the news and start figuring out what's going on here and what's this guy all about. And in those first few minutes, I had texts from three different people, including a former NFL general manager, and all were like, wow, that guy, that's a really good move. My former editor was one of those people. He still works with David. He still works with The Athletic, but he was here up until the last few months, and he always was sort of marveled how they just spent no money at linebacker, right? I mean, they had the Jamin Davis, and they just didn't spend money, so he was sort of blown away that the new group did that. Louvu's a guy who came up as a reserve. He was a reserve his first few years in the league, then blossomed over the last couple of years in Carolina. He is a high-energy, aggressive player. When Dan Quinn and Joe Witt Jr. talk about, they're going to do things differently than other teams, they're going to be, nasty, violent, those types of things, I think this guy sort of epitomizes what they are looking for. He should be, I would assume, the inside linebacker, I guess with Jamin Davis on the outside, but nonetheless, a position that only had Jamin Davis. Washington still has to get depth, but now they have a guy who is an ascending player, and I'm really excited to dig in more into Frankie Louvu. He's versatile. Like I said, he can play in the middle. He can get after the pass rush. He had basically almost the same amount of sacks last year by himself as the Commanders' linebacker crew all last year. I'll find that stat for the next time. So I don't think any of these moves like change the needle. Whatever your perception of the Commanders before this happened, I don't think is changing. You know, again, with Biotish and Luvu, they got two like legit starters. Armstrong is sort of that, probably could be in that group, but like, you know, again, he just hasn't been a starter for a ton of his career. Eckler is a really fun chess piece, and you know, Allegretti is a, you know, in a worst case, he's a solid reserve off the bench. If he starts, you know, so be it. So nothing's really changed here. But again, the seeing Adam Peters in that group work. Now, we don't know the whole story, right? I had heard before the day began to keep an eye on Jonathan Grenard, the edge rusher from the Texans, who signed a huge deal with the Vikings. It seemed to me that the type of deal that was being projected for him was a bit larger than I would imagine Washington. I thought maybe they'd get to that Bryce Huffy territory, which I think he was 3 for 50, give or take, right? Somewhere in that range. But they didn't make that level of splurge, at least not yet. But they've addressed a bunch of needs, and they didn't do it in some rash way. And like I said, they're still open because we don't quite know. I haven't seen like the individual breakdowns of the deals in terms of the year by year. So I don't know how Washington is structuring the deals, whether they wanted to, you know, put a ton of money into these years because they recognize there might be some leaner ones take advantage of the cap space, or do they push it back because they want to keep more room open this year. That's the part. I don't know quite yet, but, you know, they're still in a pretty good position on the cap. Hopefully by tomorrow, maybe we'll have a better deal as the deals, the numbers start coming in and some of the sites can update some things. Although I guess they probably can't really update anything until Wednesday, but we still might get a better feel as to what is going on. Now, people come and then also people go. Antonio Gibson signed with the New England Patriots. I was kind of happy for AG that he got a deal done on day one. You know, the running back market, you know, as we know, it's not nearly as robust as it used to be. And guys like Gibson, who, look, I had a couple teams ask me about him. I always thought that I thought he was miscategorized as a lead back those first couple of years, even though I know he was highly productive. But, you know, in terms of like sort of, I'm not even talking about the fumbles, but just sort of sustaining drives, hitting the holes, he wasn't really that guy. But then when they brought in Brian Robinson, they just never quite figured out how to take advantage of Gibson's, you know, versatility, where you can line him up in different spots. And it just never felt like they really did that. But we'll see. Maybe the Patriots can get that done. But speaking of the Patriots, Gibson will know somebody. For sure, because Jacoby Brissett is also going to the Patriots. It looks like he basically signed the same deal that he did with Washington. 1 year, eight with, I think it was like up to $4 million more in incentives possible. It's very possible Jacoby Brissett's about to do the same thing he did here in Washington, and that is back up or support a very young quarterback. New England traded Mac Jones. Brissett is at a minimum the new veteran. But if they do take a quarterback at number three, you know, they may decide, hey, we want to sit the rookie. Jacoby Brissett would then step in. Either way, we'll see what the Patriots do, but Jacoby Brissett is gone. It's highly possible I missed something or I'm forgetting somebody, but I kind of feel like that was the main moves of the day involving other, you know, Washington's own free agents. Look, again, I think that this was a pretty solid start to this for the reasons I was sort of stating. None of these players I said are moving the needle. I don't know what the over-under is for this team, 5.5 maybe. I don't know. I don't even know how you could have an over-under until we know a lot more stuff. But whatever the perception is, I don't see that that's changed today. But what I would say, and that's for the 2024 season. But so far, one day, if we're going to just make that an unbelievably silly snap judgment, I like the process in which they went through this. Now, again, did they make some bigger swings and just not get who they wanted? Maybe. Perhaps we'll find out at some point. I think, though, that, I think it's a good start for the Commanders. Now we'll see, do they get more aggressive? I had some executive say to me, hey, you know what? the best move may very well be get some done things done early, then sit and wait, let the market dry up a little bit, let people spend their money, and then come in for the bargains. Come in for the guys who, you know, just whatever. They missed their window. It didn't happen for them. And, you know, get some guys, even if it's on like a one-year deal, you know, you can probably get some good bargains. And maybe those good bargains are even multi-year deals for some younger guys that you want to take a flyer on. Whatever it is, they're off to a good start. I will say, hold on, let me pull this up here. All right, I hit up you guys on Twitter and said, hey, if you got questions, I'm going to do the pod tonight. Let me know. Where was the one I was looking for? This is great radio or podcasting. At Todd Island asks, how will they address the gaping hole at left tackle? Package the 2 second round picks to move up, trade down, free agency. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I think that second round, I think this could be a good sweet spot. You know, they'll have a better feel when they get closer to the draft as to how the first round may go, and therefore, does the run of tackles happen earlier in the first round, in which case might be a little more challenging? Does it come later? But I think that's where I would go. Again, you go with like a Cornelius Lucas type tackle, swing tackle, or if not the actual person, and then you've basically got that covered similar to what you have at left guard, and then you can look to the draft and, you know, maybe you draft a guard and a tackle, and there may be more out here. I'm not saying don't sign a veteran if it makes sense. I just, in general, this is not considered to be a deep tackle class in free agency. So signing one that's a legitimate upgrade, may not be so simple. Let me see if there's anything else here. Ben, this is from Brian Johnson. Ben, what do you think about a trade with KC for Snead? Seems like a fit with this new coaching staff. They've got some space to take on a large contract. Am I crazy or is there logic presence here? Well, Jarius Snead, I have not been tracking like his contract hopes and dreams, but you know, he's going to get paid, right, as one of the top cornerbacks in the league. And, you know, as we just discussed, I don't know how high I see them going in any single contract. Sure, they need that position. Sure, he's one of the best corners in the league. You know, the age timeline fits, all that. I just it isn't just paying him, but you also have to give up the assets to get him. Now, I know Carolina just didn't seem like they got a ton here for Brian Burns, on who they gave the franchise tag to, and they traded him with the Giants. Giants gave him a huge deal and all that stuff. A second and a fifth, I think, is what the Giants gave up. But I don't know. I just don't know if I see this group wanting to take on a massive contract at this point. Anything's possible, but I just don't see it right now. I understand the player. I understand the need. But again, sort of the theme of this episode, I also recognize the plan, and I just don't see that plan involving trading away picks and signing someone to that kind of a deal. And last one here from at Swamp Parson. Are any of our own free agents expected back before the end of the tampering period? You know, as I've said before, I think Lucas and Jeremy Reeves are the two that I would say, you know, keep an eye on, best bets to return, that type of deal. They're also not the type of guys who are very high in demand. And that's the thing, you know, even though an incredible amount of action happened across the league today, there's still a tons more to get to. And I just don't see, if Kendall Fuller, he's not going to come back. Curtis Samuel, I don't think he's coming back. I think they're looking for a tall receiver out there. You know, so, Cam Curl, I guess, is the one that, you know, made a little more wiggle room, a little more doubt. But didn't hear much about him today, to be super honest, because there was so much happening. But there's still a bunch of safeties out there. Some got signed. I know Geno Stone from the Ravens got signed elsewhere. So we're talking about some of the lower tier guys, even below Lucas and Reeves. Sure, some of those guys, but in terms of the bigger names, I just don't know. I'm curious about Smith Williams and Sue Hill and those guys. I just thought, I don't know, Smith Williams in particular, I just thought he was a pretty solid guy. And if you needed to start him, he can help you out. And, you know, right now they just kind of don't have a ton of that. But at the same time, they just may not see it the same way. And that is, of course, their prerogative. All right, here we go. Let's get to my conversation with Daniel Popper, our Chargers insider. We're going to talk about Austin Eckler and what the Washington Commanders have to look forward to here on the Standard Room Only podcast. All right, as I said, we're going to get into one of these six free agents. I say six, I should be cautious. Because who knows what's going to happen before we get off this podcast. But one of the six guys, and the one that's fantasy footballers certainly know the best, Austin Eckler, former Chargers running back. So here to give us the lowdown of why he's now a Commanders running back, essentially, is our Chargers insider, Daniel Popper, who had to endure a crazy day like I did. First off, thanks for doing this. It's late night.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Ben.
By the way, here's an indication of how nuts this day is. When I asked Daniel to come on the podcast, they had just signed, or they had agreed to terms with Eckler a few minutes before. He quickly said, sure. In between, they added two more players, including at one point, I messaged you on our Slack, said, hey, just checking in. Within the minute that you responded, they then added another offensive lineman. It's been one of those days.
It's never ending. Never ending.
All right. Well, let's get to the good stuff here. I Austin Eckler, definitely not the most expensive free agent Washington got today, but it is going to be easily the one that fans will be interested the most. We're talking about a guy who's one of the best running backs in the league. Went back-to-back years, he leads the league in touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Things kind of went awry last year, and now he's here. I guess you tell me where to start. What should Commanders fans be thinking about the Austin Eckler that's coming in here?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of context that's being lost in terms of like what type of player Austin Eckler was last season. I think the narrative around him is that he fell off a cliff and he had two great seasons and now he has nothing left in the tank. Like, I couldn't disagree with that sentiment more. He had a high ankle sprain in week one against the Dolphins, very first game of the season. Played through it in that game, but then went on to miss 4 weeks. And he just was not the same after it. And Austin Eckler is the type of guy where he's never going to admit that. I mean, publicly, obviously, but even privately, he would never admit that this injury was affecting him. In his mind, he's like, I took the time off. I came back. Like, I'm here. I'm being paid to perform. And that's my job. Doesn't matter where I'm at health-wise. But it obviously affected him. And you could see it in his explosion, in his burst, and his speed. And, you know, everyone pointed to that one run down the sideline against the Packers when he cut to the outside and he should have scored a touchdown and he ended up reaching only 13 miles an hour. And, you know, everyone points to that play as like, okay, he's washed. But you can see, you know, as somebody who's watched, you know, pretty much every snap of his career, like, you could see in that moment that he just wasn't healthy. I think he's a lot closer to the player that he was in 21-22 when he scored 38 touchdowns than he is to like what the public perception of him is. And so, like, I still think he has a lot of good football left. Now, like, even at his best, like, there are strengths and weaknesses to his game. He is a very versatile player. He obviously has a nose for the end zone. That's hard. You know, you can quantify it in terms of how many times a guy gets in the end zone.
Right.
But it's hard even talking to people in the league. It's like, you know, what makes a guy good at that? It's really hard to like pinpoint, but Austin Eckler has it, whatever it is. And then, you know, the different things that he can do in the passing game are really special. You know, he's probably the best or one of the best angle route runners in the league. There is not a player in the league and certainly not a linebacker that can match up with him one-on-one in those type of routes, especially when you're getting him on choice routes and he has a two-way go. And then on top of that, he has the ability to line up in different spots. Like, he can play in the slot. He can even play outside. He's a good route runner. And then he's got really good contact balance. He's very hard to bring down. Now, what he doesn't bring to the table is he's never really been an elite runner between the tackles. He's not really a traditional running back. But if you're using him in the ways that I'm talking about, particularly as a pass catcher, then I think he can still be a very, very productive player in the league.
When I'm sure you did the same thing, you know, wrote a story. Here's a list of potential free agent targets that they could get, you know, that type of deal. So knowing they're going to lose Antonio Gibson in free agency or let him go, I was like, okay, I need to give them a change of pace option. And, you know, I really try to find the best one I can. I don't just want to go off the list, so to speak, but I was, you know, looking at the, see what free agents are available. And like everyone was sort of more of a interior runner except for Eckler. And I'm like, well, I mean, he's not cut. I mean, he'll get a better deal, but you know, somebody offer him something, more money, more opportunity and whatnot. And obviously it didn't work out that way from his point of view. I guess, are you surprised that running backs are being devalued? He's not coming out for a great year, but are you surprised about the terms, or does that seem like in line with what you were thinking?
No, it felt like he was going to be in that, you know, $6 million a year range. You know, unfortunately, just the way his career unfolded, he never got to fully capitalize on, you know, his best years. And sometimes that happens, but in his specific case, he was an undrafted player, an afterthought, really. Melvin Gordon was the lead back. All of a sudden, Melvin Gordon holds out. Austin Eckler gets an opportunity to be the lead guy, and he really breaks out in that 2019 season. And then the Chargers smartly sign him to an extension that offseason, a four-year extension at $6 million per year, $24 million overall, which at the time was like, okay, that's a good deal. Like, Eckler had one good season of production. He had an 100-100 game against the Lions. Like, he showed like enough to get that type of deal, but not to be at the top of the market. He hadn't done enough and produced for long enough to be that player. On that four-year deal, he becomes what Austin Eckler became, which was 38 touchdowns in two seasons, best fantasy player in the league. You know, the time for him to hold out was probably after 2021 when he scored 20 touchdowns. He didn't. The following offseason, you know, is when he, you know, tried to force the Chargers' hand. They ultimately told him that he could go explore the trade market. He did with his agent. And ultimately, they weren't able to find the deal that they were looking for. He felt like he should be in that $12 million plus a year range. And at his age, there just weren't any teams that were willing to do it because they felt like his best production was behind him. And so that's sort of the story. I mean, that's the downside of the NFL. Like, in the Chargers case, they made a really smart move to bet on the player and sign him long term at a time when he hadn't proved fully who he was. And in Eckler's case, it was unfortunate because if he had become a free agent after a 20 touchdown season, you know, maybe he signs, you know, Joe Mixon deal. Maybe he signs, you know, what Jonathan Taylor signed for, but the cards didn't really shake out that way. And so now at 29, with the mileage that he has at his size coming off an injury, you know, the market ended up being what it was.
It's brutal. Isaiah Thomas, not the Pistons, the more recent Isaiah Thomas, just recently he was like signing on with some team in the G League. And that's like the guy I always think of when these, you know, he had his great year with the Celtics, then he got hurt, never really cashed out. I feel bad for these guys whenever that happens. All right. You mentioned you were discussing sort of what does he have left. So the good thing for Washington is they've got Brian Robinson, who is that workhorse back. He can get the most carries, but there's a lot of space now because no Gibson. I don't assume Curtis Samuel's coming back. What's for you like the ideal workload at this point for Eckler? Obviously game dependent, but like, you know, in general, what do you think is sort of the ideal workload for him?
Yeah, I mean, Austin Eckler has said it himself that he was always looking for a second running back to step up. It almost became comical over the course of his, you know, past three seasons of him constantly saying like, this is the year where somebody needs to step up, because, you know, he's not a big guy. Like, pound for pound, he was the strongest guy on the Chargers team, but he starts the season at 200. You know, he's 5'8" on a good day. And by the end of the season, he's down to 190 just because it's hard to keep the weight on. And so like the workload that he was having to take on because no one else stepped up on the Chargers, it took a toll on him physically. And he would tell you that. And he said that, you know, on the record. And so like, I think this situation actually makes a lot of sense. I'm sure that's one of the reasons why Austin Eckler was intrigued by coming to Washington, was having a proven guy that could be that workhorse back. And all of a sudden Austin can fit more into a role where he's playing on third down, where he's really, really good, where he's playing in the red zone, where you're even getting into pony personnel and splitting Austin Eckler outside or in the slot, doing different things with him in that way. So like at this stage of his career, I think that complementary role is what fits him best. I think he believes that's what fits him best. And I think you're going to see a player that's back to the efficiency that he was, sort of at his prime when he isn't taking all of the hits that he's been taking with the Chargers. And so I think in a lot of ways it makes sense. And I think, that complementary role, makes a lot of sense as far as like specific snap percentages. Like, I don't know how, Washington will end up setting everything up, but, somewhere in like the 40 to 50% snaps range, I think makes a lot of sense. Whereas like you're talking, anywhere from like 70 to 80% of the snaps during his heyday with the Chargers. So like that kind of dialing back of his role so that he can be healthier and more efficient on a snap to snap basis, I think it makes a ton of sense. Especially at the price, I think the fit makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I mean, I was already thinking this before we started talking, and you're saying you think he's got, good amount left. Like, I'm already can you wager on Austin Ekeler for comeback player of the year? I mean, I'm just like I don't know what's gonna happen here this year, but
Yeah, it's
if
interesting.
Cliff Kingsbury's offense does stuff, and plus they may be
Yeah.
losing a lot just realistically with a rookie quarterback, so might be a lot of, second half production.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, I'm just pulling up his stats. I mean, he was over 1,000 scrimmage yards last year with 6 touchdowns. So it would have to be like a monster year. But then again, like you're talking about a guy that has scored 69 touchdowns in his Chargers career. So like, is it, 14 touchdown season on the table? Maybe, depending on how they use him. But I just think based off like his production last year, it's
Yeah, no, I
hard
hear.
to compare.
I
Like
mean, I'm just.
if he had like missed the whole year with injury and had like 300 scrimmage yards, then
Yeah.
maybe I would consider
No,
it.
I
I
hear.
just lived
I'm
in the year
more.
last year.
All right. I'm more or less joking, but just the fact that, like, it does feel like if you're, you obviously cover the team, that if he's good, healthy, right? I mean, they have work to do. The offensive line is a work in progress. We don't know what the quarterback is. But that guy, it feels like that's a guy, like from a fantasy football perspective, I'd take the flyer on Austin Ekeler in this situation. So I like, of all the other moves they made, were all like a lot of linemen and nothing that flashy. Ekeler was probably the cheapest deal they did other than the kicker, and I bet he's the one that people are most pumped for.
Yeah, and I think that's a fair reaction, just based on like when he's rolling, like he can be super effective. And even in that lead back role, right? Like he was producing at a super high level, never as much as a runner, but he was always a highly effective player. And I pin a lot of last year on this high ankle sprain. Like I really do, just knowing who he is as a player and an athlete, like the way he was moving. Watching him live and watching him on tape, it was very apparent that that was affecting him. So, like I think that player is still in there. Like if he's not battling a high ankle sprain, like I still firmly believe that he can be an effective player. You sort of pair all that together, right? Like you're expecting to get a healthier player, and you're also going to have a player that's in a role that's probably better fit to where he is at his career and his skill set in general. That all together leads me to be pretty confident about Ekeler, bouncing back and being a productive player in Washington.
All right, well, look, it's going to be interesting. Like I said, I think we still have a lot of questions here about what their team's even going to look like, schematically and everything. But having a piece like Austin Ekeler is going to be fun to work with if he's good to go. Daniel, I really, really appreciate it. I'm sure you got things to do. Hopefully you don't have anything new to do. Hopefully nothing's happened in the 15 minutes we've been talking here.
I just have to crunch some Gus Edwards cap numbers. But other than that, I think I'll be done and I can have my beer and watch an episode of Chopped and then wake up at 4 in the morning to make sure I
Oh,
didn't miss anything.
I do a lot of the food competition shows. I'm watching Tournament of Champions right
There
now.
you go. Honestly, it's just the best content to like shut your brain off after a long day.
That honestly is 100%. I'm more apt to watch those things now than some sports, depending on the sport. And it's just
100%.
for that. It's perfect background. Yes.
100%. Couldn't agree more.
Dude, I really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
All right. Many thanks to Daniel Popper for his time. Thanks to everyone here for checking out the podcast. Boy, it's almost 1 o'clock. We got to get back at this tomorrow. I hope I didn't miss a move the way things were flying around today. It could be more days like this because this team's got money to spend and there's players out there. So that is it for now. Ben Standick signing off. Until next time.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.